This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good evening and welcome to the No Name Ever podcast. As you can probably tell, this is not Natalie Bromley. This is Adam Dennett with you for the Millwall home preview show. And joining me tonight is Dave Roberts. Great to have you along, Dave. First off, what are your thoughts on the victory at Wigan over the weekend?
Very pleasing, yeah. I think 4,701 travelling Clarets fans delighted with that result, and many, many more at home as well. Yeah, really good result. 5 goals away from home. You can't complain too much about that, although maybe the scoreline did flatter us slightly, but there's certainly, no one will be holding that against us.
That's a great start, that. So I can claim to be the one. It was my first away game for a while, and like you said, a 5-1 away win, you've got to cherish them. Nice that we were clinical with our chances after probably not making the most of our dominance in the first few weeks. And great as well that we managed to come through a spell of pressure after going 2-0 up like we did against Blackpool, and then regaining that dominance and seeing it through to a victory. And the crowd loved it. Everyone in that away end were bouncing, and really positive signs moving forward. We did set the listeners a quiz question for the Wigan game, and that was, who were the only 3 players to have scored in league games away at Wigan for Burnley? What were the answers, Dave, and did any of our listeners get it correct?
This was prior to this season, obviously, because we had a few names added to that list since then, and it was at any level. It wasn't just the Championship games. And those 3 scorers, and our correct answers were, John Deary scored for Burnley in a league game at Wigan in 1992. Glenn Little scored for us in 1998. Both of those were at Springfield Park rather than the new ground. And Andy Payton was the first and before this weekend the only Burnley player to score a league goal in a game at Wigan for Burnley. That was in 1999. And we did have one correct answer. David Entwistle was in touch. He was slightly late off the mark, but we'll be generous. I think he'd seen the third, he knew two, saw third one in the match report, and thought he'd take his chances. So we'll give him that one. He's our Clarets quiz star for this week.
Yeah, well done, David. I wouldn't have got any of those. I didn't quite realise how poor our record was at Wigan. And like you've just mentioned, we've massively improved on that this weekend. I think I've been to 2-0 draws and a 1-0 away defeat in the Premier League 09-10 season. So, yeah, nice to put them memories at rest as well with a crushing victory yesterday. Now, on to Millwall at home on Tuesday night. Try and build on that momentum. How do we do, or how have we done against Millwall in the Championship head-to-heads?
Championship head-to-head. All of the 29 previous league seasons where Burnley have played Millwall have been in either the second or the third tier. Most of those, that's 21, have been in the second tier, with the remaining eight in the third. So once again, we have a lot of games to cover when looking back at Burnley's home games against Millwall in what is currently the Championship. The first block of six seasons at this level were all in the 1930s and 1940s. Burnley won five out of the six home games in those seasons, and that included a 3-0 win in December 1946. Actually, Harry Potts, future manager, was one of the goal scorers for Burnley in that game. And on the way to gaining promotion, as we did at the end of that season, to the top flight. After a long run of 24 seasons in the First Division, Burnley were relegated in the 1970-71 season, and the next two second-tier games at Turf Moor between the two teams were in the early 1970s. They were both Burnley wins. That meant we'd won seven out of the first eight of the games in the list we're looking at. Things changed, though, in the late 1970s, as Burnley lost the next three in a row. That included a 3-1 defeat in December 1976. This meeting between the two teams was featured on ITV's The Big Match. And that programme was guest-hosted by Kevin Keegan and Mick Shannon, two England players of the time, with a guest appearance from who else but Elton John. The team spent four seasons together in the third tier. That was in the first half of the 1980s, before the next second-tier meeting in the 1994-95 season. And once again, Burnley lost this game by a 2-1 scoreline this time. Burnley won three of four home games against Millwall. They were in the third tier, though, in the late 1990s and early 2000s, before we reach our next second-tier game. There were three consecutive draws between 2001 and 2003 during Stan Ternent's time as Burnley manager, before the Clarets won again. That was a 1-0 win in November 2004, as Robbie Blake scored the only goal from the penalty spot. The following season, 2005-06, Burnley won again. It was 2-1 this time, after we'd conceded inside the first minute. And in this match, remarkably, referee Richard Beebe showed his red card four times. That was three Millwall players that were dismissed. Ben May was sent off in the tunnel at half-time. Jody Morris was dismissed after 70 minutes, and Burnley's James O'Connor followed him shortly afterwards. And finally, Millwall's goalkeeper, David Marshall, was shown a red card after the final whistle for, I think, arguing with the referee. That just leaves four more matches in my list. In March 2011, the visitors won 3-0, including two goals from Paul Robinson and the other from Andros Townsend. And the following season, a young lone striker by the name of Harry Kane. He was on the score sheet for the Lions as they won 3-1. The two teams played out a 2-2 draw at Turf Moor in September 2012, with a young Ben Mee. He scored one of Burnley's goals with a header, and Charlie Austin scored the other. But Darius Henderson popped up with a late equaliser for the visitors. Our last meeting at Turf Moor at this level was in February 2014, and we're going to revisit that match in a bit more detail very soon, as it's going to be featured as our memory match. So to summarise, Burnley have won 10, drawn 5 and lost 6 of the previous 21 second-tier matches at Turf Moor between the two teams.
Very good. You did briefly mention it, but my most fond memory from watching Burnley versus Millwall growing up was in the Stan Ternent promotion season, 1999-2000, where I think we went 4-0 up and then managed to scrape it in the end 4-3 after being put under quite a bit of pressure. So that was one of my first nail-biting moments watching Burnley. And obviously there's been many more since, but
I remember it well.
Yeah, that were a classic. But yeah, it's interesting that we did very well early on in games against Millwall, and it's been a bit hit and miss since then. But hopefully, we can put that right on Tuesday. Next, we'll move on to the played for both section, and it's a very short list this week, which surprised me a bit. What have you got for us, Dave?
There's only 13 players who've played for Burnley and Millwall since World War II. I think maybe distance comes into it a little bit. I think when you've got clubs that are further afield, you look at the likes of Bury's and Wigan's and teams, there's probably more movement between those teams, whereas for the London teams and South Coast, you don't get quite as many. But there have only been the 13 players since World War II. Starting off with Billy Gray, who played for Burnley for several seasons in the 1950s, played 130 games in total for Burnley, just 20 for Millwall. He played for both. Moving into the 70s, we've got a couple. We had Alan West and Terry Cochrane. And then into the 90s, then we had Paul Shaw. He played for us on loan. He played a long time for Millwall. He played 109 games for them. And the other names on the list, Richard Huxford, perhaps a little less well-known. Richard Chaplow did really well for Burnley coming through the youth ranks. Played 74 games for Burnley, played 30 for Millwall. And then we've got Richard Duffy, Gifton Noel Williams, Josh McCoy, Jason Shackle. Spent three seasons Burnley captain, and then Stephen Reid, Lloyd Dyer, and finally Chris Wood. That's the 13 names who played for both.
Yeah, I looked it up before we came on tonight. Paul Shaw was, he actually, I don't remember it, but he scored in the first ever game I went to at Turf Moor in a victory over Charlton Athletic. So I'll always remember that. Fondly remember him for that, even if I don't remember much of the game itself. And then, yeah, Chaplow, only 74 games for Burnley. I thought he'd played more than that. But, yeah, very good point on the distance, because you just assume, because we played Millwall quite a lot of times in the year I've been watching Burnley, you'd probably expect more transfers between the two teams, but that's probably reflected in the amount of like more modern players that have made that move. So, yeah, distance is probably a factor there. Now on to the memory match. You've already mentioned it's from the 2014 season. What happened, Dave?
Sean Dyche's side were on a good run, but came up against Ian Holloway's Lions at Turf Moor. Martin Wolford put Millwall into the lead when a headed clearance from a free kick fell to him just outside the D, and he finished with a well-taken volley past Tom Heaton. That was after 27 minutes. At the other end, Danny Ings curled in an equaliser 2 minutes later, but also had a penalty saved by Stephen Bywater before the break. There was still time for Dean Marnie to put the Clarets into the lead before the half-time interval. Former Claret, we've mentioned already, Richard Chaplow, he was introduced as a second-half substitute for the visitors, but that was after Danny Ings had scored again for Burnley after 62 minutes. It was a fantastic piece of skill. A long ball through from Kieran Trippier, brought it down the control in the box, and slotted it in past Bywater to make it 3-1. And that was probably game over. I think Burnley managed the game pretty well after that and had a comfortable victory. That victory did lift Burnley from third place up to second on goal difference. We were ahead of Queen's Park Rangers, although we had played a game more than them. But we still had a game in hand on Leicester City, who were top of the table, although they were 11 points clear at that stage. And you may recall, we eventually finished as runners-up and were promoted automatically along with the Foxes at the end of that season. In fact, the defeat against Leicester at Turf Moor, the 2-0, Nugent and Chris Wood scoring for Leicester, that was our only defeat in the latter part of the season as well. We went on a really good run, not quite as memorable as the 23 undefeated, but a really good run at the end of that season. After this game, Sean Dyche said, "We are relentless in our attitude in training, and as long as that relentless mentality is there as a collective, then we can get the results." And we certainly did. We're hoping that Burnley can build on our excellent result against Wigan at the weekend and strive for another victory over Millwall at Turf Moor on Tuesday evening.
Yeah, relentless. One of his buzzwords. Loved that.
That was in the highlight video, wasn't it, for that season?
Yeah, it was. Really? Yeah, great memories of that game. Now we'd like to bring you an opposition view from our opponents. And this week, that comes from That Millwall Pod. Take it away, guys.
Well, things started quite well for Millwall, actually. That opening day success, the 2-0 win over Stoke. And people were quite positive after that. Things are a little bit downhill since then. You know, some injuries to some key players. Zian Fleming got injured. Tom Bradshaw got injured at Cambridge in the EFL Cup defeat. George Honeyman got sent off. You know, so there's a couple of different errors have creeped in that have resulted in a few errors and a few drop points. A couple of comebacks as well. Glazed over maybe a couple of cracks at Millwall at the minute. I think the comeback against Coventry, everyone was on a high after that, but the two goals conceded was a bit of a concern. And then obviously the defeat at home to Reading last Saturday was a low point of the season so far, I think. You know, the lack of attacking creativity going into it, I think people were really, really disappointed after the game. So it's not a happy mood heading to Turf Moor on Tuesday. I mean, you've got to give massive credit to Burnley. I think they've made a decent start. I know the 5-1 win at Wigan was only the second win of the season, but they've looked good. You know, they've looked very, very good. I watched them on the opening day at Huddersfield. I thought they were very, very good there. I think Vincent Kompany's laying down the type of football he wants to play. And he'll be very, very, very happy, I think, with how they've started the majority of it. They're vulnerable to conceding goals. We've seen that, you know, in that 3-3 draw with Blackpool. But no, look, they're a side that are going to pose a challenge. I think Millwall will line up as they have done for the majority of the season. It will be a back five. I don't think there'll be many changes that Gary Rowett make. Possibly see a start for Andreas Vogelsammer, the German coming from Hertha Berlin. We could see him start. We could also see a first start for Zian Fleming, which would change the dynamic of how the team play a little bit. You know, that, you know, that should be a bit of quality going into the front men, which is possible. But yeah, I'd expect Bart Biakowski in goal, the back four, back five, Danny McNamara, right wing back, a back three of Sean Hutchinson, Jake Cooper and Murray Wallace, Scott Malone as the left wing back, George Honeyman and Billy Mitchell in the two holding midfielders, Zian Fleming as the 10, and then Benik Afobe and Tom Bradshaw up front is how I expect it to go. I'm not going into this overly confident, I've got to be honest. I'd be happy if Millwall came away with a draw and a clean sheet, and I'd happily take a 0-0 right now.
Thanks for that. Good stuff. Right, on to the referee, Dave. Who's in charge on Tuesday night?
Well, our referee is actually from Lancashire, Lee Doty of Preston. He's going to be in charge of our home game against Millwall. And once again, as will be the case for several matches this season, it'll be his very first Burnley match. He was, however, in East Lancashire this weekend. He took charge of the match which took place at Ewood Park on Saturday afternoon. You may have seen the details that the home side lost again, this time to Stoke City, 1-0. And they've now lost three games in a row after winning their first three matches of the season. Burnley's emphatic win on Saturday meant that we have now overtaken them. We're in sixth place, above them on goal difference. Lee Doty kept his red card in his pocket on Saturday, but he's already shown one red card so far this season. That was to Mark Sykes of Bristol City, but we'll be hoping that he can keep it 11-11 on Tuesday.
Definitely. And yeah, I've just got to mention, it's the world feels right again now. We're back above Blackburn Rovers. It weren't a very nice few weeks, and I think we all took a bit of stick, but you'd probably take that after the last decade of dominance, we'll call it. But yeah, hopefully it is just a blip, and now we can stay ahead of them for the rest of the season. Anyway, what Would you do anything to the team on Tuesday? How are you feeling about the game? Are you confident after the win at the weekend?
It's hard to say. I think the games do come thick and fast in the Championship, and playing Saturday, Tuesday, and also being mindful the next game against West Brom's on Friday, there might have to be a little bit of management of the squad in there. if any players kind of coming back or got anything of a niggle, then they're going to be rested, I think. So there might be one or two changes. I think when you're looking at players for that, you're potentially looking at Johan Berg-Gudmundsson. He played 45 minutes in the Cup. It was perhaps a surprise. He was starting on Saturday. It might be too much to go in with him again on Tuesday. So he might be rested or left on the bench for Tuesday, possibly. Jay Rodriguez looked very sharp again on Saturday. So again, it might be a case of hopefully probably will start, but it might be the case he plays the first hour and then we see changes. We've obviously got options now with five substitutes to change things around again. The players who've been coming on have been very strong. You know, the fact that likes of Bastian can come on and score, Nathan Teller as well. So yeah, there are players who can come in and do a job. It's great to have a squad. Chernyov, wasn't it, who came on rather than Teller that started the game. But there are players in there in the squad who are capable of coming off the bench and doing things and putting their names in the frame for the next game. So it may well be that one or other of them get a start and we change things around for Tuesday. But I think Vincent Kompany will have to be a little bit careful with the games coming thick and fast to make sure that it does manage that squad, because you do have to be a little bit careful. You don't want to be in a situation where a player gets a long-term injury, is out for 2 or 3 months. That does sort of reduce his hand and limit what he's able to do.
Yeah, I think I agree with everything that you've said there. It's really nice to have a bit of depth in the, especially with the attacking options. We can probably chop and change a couple of positions without impacting the team too much. And yeah, like you said, Bastian and Chernyov both had a positive impact when they came into the game at the weekend. One thing I was worried about was Ian Mattsson being suspended, because he's looked really been one of the bright spots of the early part of the season. But Vitinho went in there on Saturday. And I think Kompany's all like talked from the start about having two players in every position. And he really stepped up at the weekend and played a big part in those first two goals. We're up and down all afternoon. And yeah, I'm not quite as worried about that part of the team. But whether he makes a couple of changes to freshen things up or goes with the first 11, I'm pretty confident we can carry that on Tuesday and hopefully get our first home win of the season after three draws. Because teams do seem happy to come and settle for a point, and we need to try and find some solutions to that. What's your prediction for the game, Dave?
I'm hopeful of a win. I'm going to go for a victory in my prediction, but I think it might be tight. I don't think it's going to be a runaway win. I'd like it to be, again, but I'm going to go a little bit more cautious and go for a 2-1 win to that.
Yeah, don't really blame you for that. I really, really want us to get a clean sheet and build on that defensively, because we did for the majority of the game against Millwall look really solid. Obviously, just one mistake. But yeah, I'm going to go for a 2-0 win. J-Rod and Brownhill carrying on the good form from the start of the season. Shall we move on to the stat of the week?
This week's stat of the week relates to Burnley's Josh Brownhill. He's our top scorer in the Championship so far this season. His brace at Wigan means that he's now scored a very impressive 4 goals in the first 6 league games of our current campaign. Prior to this season, he's only scored 3 times previously for Burnley. He scored twice in the Premier League at Brighton and at Watford, as well as a spectacular goal in the Carabao Cup in a match played at this week's opponents, Millwall. Very good goal it was.
Yeah, screamer. I've been really impressed with Brownhill this season, not only on the pitch, but like his attitude in off the pitch. He's said all the right things in interviews and just seems to come across a real leader within that squad now. And we were talking before, you obviously mentioned that we were talking before the recording, that he was the captain at Bristol City. So he's obviously got those leadership responsibilities in there, those qualities. And yeah, hopefully he can carry that on. How impressed have you been by Brownhill this season, Dave?
He seems to be playing with a determination. He's got more of a freer role, more of an attacking role. And he's taken that on board. He's kind of run with it. And the chance he took, the two goals, you know, powered one into the roof of the net. And the, just the little cutback for the second goal was class, wasn't it, for the, in the second half for his second goal. So, yeah, more of the same, please, Josh. But I just think we need to be a little bit cautious. I jokingly tweeted at the weekend that someone at Turf Moor needs to lock him up till the transfer window shut. We don't want him to be shipped out before that window closes.
No, definitely not. There's been interest in him in the past, and not really thought about any outgoings with all the excitement of all the incomings. But yeah, that'd be a big blow if we lost him at this stage. But fingers crossed, that won't be the case. On to this week's quiz question. I'm hoping I do a bit better this week, Dave. I've been doing a bit... I've done very poorly this season with the quiz questions. So what have you got for us this week?
Right. Well, this week's quiz question is fairly straightforward. What was unusual about Burnley's home game against Millwall in the Championship in September 2002?
I have no idea. I'll have to have a think about that one. No, nothing springing to mind there. So hopefully the listeners are doing a bit better than I am. I will be submitting my answer if something does spring to mind. But how can the listeners get in touch if they want to submit their answer?
In the usual way, you can contact us on Twitter. You are better off sending us a direct message. That means that no one sees your answer. So you can DM, that's at NoNayNever on Twitter. You can send an email to us, a dedicated email address we've got set up, which is previewshow@nonayNever.net. Or you can reply to the post that will go up for this preview show on our Facebook page. Either of those methods, and we'll read out any correct answers for the next preview.
Good stuff. Right, there's no FPL update this week as we're recording on Sunday evening and the website won't be fully updated until tomorrow morning. Just a quick note to say, a reminder to say that there is a midweek game week this week. So make sure you change your captains, do your transfer, and submit your teams before the Tuesday deadline at 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. on Tuesday. Make sure you've got your teams confirmed. And just a reminder as well, we will be closing the league on the 31st of August, at the end of August. So this is your last chance to enter. We will tweet out the league code so you can join. We've had a record number of entries this season. So thank you very much for your participation. I think that's it from us. Well, that's it from me this week, Dave. Have you got any other business?
No, just to say to everyone, enjoy the game on Tuesday. Hopefully we can get that elusive home win. I think we've deserved a little bit more out of the three draws we've had already. It's a disappointment just to get 3 points from those games, particularly the Blackpool one, I think, where we looked to be coasting and then let them back into it. So, yeah, I think we're well overdue a home league win at Turf Moor. So hopefully we can go with all 3 points on Tuesday night.
Here's to that. And just finally, we'll be back midweek to review the Wigan away game and hopefully another positive result in the Millwall game on Tuesday. The analysis team will be back for that. And then we'll have another preview show. They're coming thick and fast before the game that Dave mentioned there earlier on, the West Brom away game on Friday evening, live on Sky Sports at 8 p.m. Finally, my thanks go to Dave for joining me this evening and providing us with all his usual brilliant stats. Producer Matt, for knitting all this together, does a great job behind the scenes, and it can be mayhem sometimes, and he sorts it all out. To the opposition view, that Millwall pod, for providing their thoughts before the game. Music by George Gaskill. And finally, to you, the listeners, of which none of this would be possible without you guys. Get on the turf on Tuesday. Support the boys. See you next time.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.